We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owl Pellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.
All right, welcome to this episode of Owl Pellets. Here by the Owl Pellet, we've got Kate Marshall and Brian. We are excited to be back with you today. Today it's going to be the three of us, and we're going to be talking to you about the four roles of agricultural educators. One of the big buzzwords here of ag education is experiential learning. We're going to talk about what it really means and how we as ag teachers talk about this. So, Marshall, give us a real quick overview here of what we're talking about here with the four roles of ag educators regarding EL.
Yeah, you bet. Well, so many times, you know, when I was an ag teacher, I said, oh, the program is experiential. And I explained that to administrators all the time. That's why I was gone. That's why I was on these different events and trips. And we're experiential by nature. But, you know, the four roles that we play are critical in helping us understand that being experiential is not just an excuse to not plan instruction. And being experiential doesn't mean we just drive around and do things. It's more than doing. It's doing and learning. And when we look at the four roles agricultural educators play, I think it's really valuable. It's almost like a lesson plan in your pocket. You know, as you go out and work with students, you can be constantly asking yourself the question, am I doing the four things that are required for experiential learning to not just be play, but to actually be educational? Those four roles are, first, well, there's really not an order, but there's four things that we should do. We should be a coach, we should be a facilitator, an expert, and then an evaluator. And there's specific things that we do within each of those. And in this study, what we'll talk about today is ag teachers, from some research that we've done, we have a pretty large preference for one of those roles. And on one hand, that's really great that, you know, we live in one of the roles that I think is really valuable. But I think it also brings some awareness to how can we be better at some of the roles that we may overlook at times.
Yeah, I think that's great, Marshall. We're going to, you know, talk about this, and I think we really have to be careful as ag teachers not to fall into this trap of just by doing stuff saying we're doing experiential learning, or, you know, I'm not going to plan today, we're going to see what else it just kind of pops up. We hear that way too many times. Like, I always tell people, you got to have a plan A before you can have a plan B. And really being intentional about what it means to be experiential in what we're trying to do here.
I think, and I'm just going to take a step back for just a moment, because I know that when I was a teacher, I did not know what experiential learning was, to the point where the first time that I had heard it as a grad student, I thought, I think they mean experimental learning. And I've seen that typo quite a bit when teachers are writing something about experiential learning, because I think it's largely an unknown among teachers. And we talk about it a lot in higher ed when focusing on agricultural education. But Marshall, do you want to just kind of take a step back for just a moment and share what is experiential learning for the ag teacher?
Well, I think, identifying what experiential learning is leads us right into the four roles. So experiential learning, you know, the theory would say that we start with some kind of concrete experience, and that can be an experience that we've had ourselves, or that can be an experience that's provided to us. But we're involved in something. Then we think and we reflect on those things that we were involved in. And as we think and reflect, we start to conclude and deduce our thoughts so that we come down to some kind of theory. For a student, maybe we're raising a plant in the greenhouse. We see that it's not doing well, so we're thinking about why. And then the more we watch and the more we think, we come down to a conclusion. And that conclusion is abstract conceptualization. So for a student, that may be a conclusion that the plant has too much water. So then we move into active experimentation, where we act based on that theory we developed. So maybe we start reducing the water. Then we go back to the greenhouse and we start that cycle again. We note that now the plant is dead. So we think about, why is that plant dead? And we talk to our students about it. We come to the conclusion that maybe our initial theory was wrong, and we modify those, and then we try it again, and we kill another flat of plants. Eventually moving to the cycle where we're able to grow things in the greenhouse in a better way. The key to this, the roles, is that Kolb, who created this theory, he bridges each of those steps with the role of the teacher. So when a student has an experience, the first thing you have to do is be a facilitator, and that means you have to have a relationship with the student. You have to know what's interesting to them. You have to know their life. You have to know what they're engaged in currently. An SAE does a great job with this. It's embedding interest into each student. So first, we've got to facilitate learning, and that requires relationships. The second thing, then, is we've got to serve as an expert. We've all been in that position where a student has an experience, and then they come to you and they ask, "My animal did not do well in this show. What do I need to do different?" Well, we need to be able to provide expertise. You know, too many times I feel like we do experiences, but we never provide expertise. The experience just floats off, and we don't really know what the student was able to take away. Once we've given some expertise, it's time to come back and evaluate. I think about this a lot in the shop. So a student will be welding and thinking about their weld, and then we come in and provide expertise, and then we need to walk around and evaluate student work. Students need feedback. Did you do well? On a scale of 1 to 5, was this a 5? Was this a 4? Was this a 3? They need feedback on their work. That's how they grow and improve. So that evaluation role is vital. The last thing is the idea of a coach. So let's say we are welding. Maybe day one, we chart their progress as you know, looking at their weld, and maybe their first weld was a 1. And maybe we're charting, and then over time, their weld is a 4 or a 5. And we're giving them a one-on-one plan to improve their welding. So those are those four roles and that play an important role, and that kind of outlines what a teacher should be doing to make experiences learning.
You know, Marshall, the chart that you created that's on the Facebook page and the WordPress page currently kind of displaying these different roles, it says that teachers prefer coach. I mean, head and shoulders above the rest of the roles. And I could see that. A lot of teachers get into teaching agriculture because of the positive experiences they had being coached on different teams and events and shows with their teacher. So I think it's understandable that so many teachers are interested in that. And kind of alternately, I also think that it's understandable with teachers putting less emphasis on that expert role. We joke around all the time that ag teachers are jacks of all trades and masters of none. We know a little bit about every aspect of agriculture. And so it can be tough when a student comes up with a very specific why question for us to know the answer immediately. And so I could understand how that might come out as far as teachers having a hard time falling into that expert role too.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that 88.8% of the teachers, their primary, their favorite role was an expert. But if you look at the average profile, was a coach. But when you look at the profile, every teacher is typically, you know, they're not 88% coach. They're 34% coach, 28% evaluator, you know, so they are a balanced set. But when we look at what is your favorite role, ag teachers are consistently, their number one role is the coaching role.
I also found it interesting that that there weren't more that said their favorite role was facilitator, just because that the building those relationships in ag programs is such a huge part of what teachers do. It's the part that the students, you know, most commonly, I think, state that was most impactful for them with their ag programs. And the teachers love doing it. So I was kind of surprised that more teachers didn't put that as their most preferred.
Yeah, as was I. And when you see the overall profiles, you'll see that the facilitator role looks a bit larger when you look at the average profiles of each teacher, but just also not choosing it as their first preference. You know, I think that all brings just the point that we talked about on the pellet is the need for balance. I think for all of us, no matter what we are, it doesn't matter if you are more of a coach or more of an expert. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we're mindful that we need coaching, but we also need expertise, and we also need facilitation, and we also need evaluation. And that's why in an ag ed world where teachers are, you know, it just doesn't seem to be as much sit-down class instruction. If we constantly are thinking about, you know, are we providing those four things, I think it's valuable.
You know, one of the things, too, you look at here, I'm thinking as we're getting ready to wrap up here with student teachers and send these folks out into the world, you know, going through these four roles in your different stages of your careers. You know, I think sometimes where you are in your career may impact a little bit about what you see your role is or your most comfortable role might end up being. And I think that's something for us all to be thinking about as we go through our entire careers. How do we help grow those areas we may not be as comfortable in? But then making sure that we are using that variety, because just because what we're comfortable using doesn't mean that that connects with all of our students in our classroom and really growing through there. One of the things I wanted to kind of point out to you, you know, Marcia, you mentioned a couple times and give some examples there with SAE. And I know the last several years, you know, we talk about the three-circle model and it keeps getting moved around. And, you know, I'll lead the jury a little bit here. One thing that's a little bit disturbing for me is we have equated SAE with experiential learning. And I think, you know, I think it's dangerous because I think experiential learning can be done in all areas of ag education, the FFA leadership component, the classroom lab component, and in the SAE component of that. So what are some of your thoughts and tips to help teachers do experiential learning in the classroom with all the students that they have in their class?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, Kolb would say that all learning is experiential. So, you know, sometimes I think we misunderstand what experiential means. Experiential just means that we are, we're learning in a natural way, the way we naturally learn as humans and adults. And so in the classroom, I think it's important that we start our instruction with personal experiences. I think either you provide an experience to all the students, like go to the greenhouse. That's one thing that everyone then can build off of. Or you draw on their own experiences with growing plants. Then it's really critical that we have students think, that they reflect, they have time to reflect. It's important that they learn natural, normal ways to seek information. Find books, look it up, ask an expert. Find real relevant ways. The way we do that in school is sometimes kind of weird. So as an ag teacher, find experts and help them learn to seek information. Evaluate. We do that well, but not just for grading, but also for giving them feedback. Students need feedback. I can't tell you how many shops I've been to where people are just burning rods. Well, how often are we evaluating and giving feedback on those rods that are being burned? And then kids need coaches, whether that's math, science, or ag. They need someone to say, you were a 2, but now you're a 4. So that if, you know, a kid that goes from a 2 to a 4 is not discouraged, that another kid went from a 5 to an 8. Coaching allows every student to be successful, which I think is valuable. So in the classroom, I think it's designing experiences that allow all four of those things to happen, whether it's a field trip or not.
Along that line, Brian, I totally echo what you're saying about experiential learning and SAEs. Go all the way back to 1919, and John Dewey says all experiences are experiential learning. It's just the quality of the experience that makes a difference. So if as a teacher you're lecturing in your classroom, that's a learning experience. You know, and if you're going out to the greenhouse and your students are throwing pea gravel back and forth, that's their learning experience. It's not just going to the greenhouse, because all sorts of experiences can happen in any setting. And it's up to the teacher to plan, as Brian was saying, that planning is crucial to make sure that any kind of experience you give them is a quality learning experience, because no matter where they are and what they're doing, it is an experience that you are providing. It's just the quality of it and how much learning happens that really is the variable.
Yeah, you know, the big thing there, you talked about lab experiences, greenhouses, gardens, ag mech labs, animal science labs, those kind of things. You know, use those at our fingertips as ag teachers to provide some of those common concrete experiences to which to teach from. It doesn't, you know, the lab doesn't have to be at the end of the lesson, or, you know, we don't have to do the book work first and then turn them loose in the labs, that kind of stuff. Use that as a way to build that common experience to really reach some of these goals.
I would say also that be mindful that when you're working in an SAE, that lends itself to facilitation. But you need to be mindful, where is the evaluation and the expertise and the coaching? And if you're in the classroom, it lends itself well to expertise. But where are you providing the coaching and the facilitation? And so each of our three circles in Ag Ed lend themselves to one of the roles, but we've got to be sure that we're mindful of all four of them.
Now, Marshall, you talked about each of these four roles, and I can kind of see where I might fit into each of them, but identifying exactly what my preferred role is and where I fall in the rest of them is kind of tough for me to do. But I understand that there's a place that teachers can go to for free be able to find out what their preferred role is.
Yeah, it's a great report, and it's emailed right to your inbox after you finish it. It takes less than 20 minutes, and the website's on the Owlpellet on Facebook, but it's http://survey.learningfromexperience.com. It gives you a report. It does a really good job of it, so you too could figure out what your role preferences are.
Okay, survey.learningfromexperience.com.
We're going to have four more pellets that go into more in-depth suggestions on each of those four roles, so keep your eyes out for those. I think they give a lot of really practical options for teachers.
That's right. We got some great stuff in the can coming forth on the four roles, but some more stuff on experiential learning and the other things that are happening. Exciting things here in Owlpellet land. Thank you all for joining us today as we talked about the four roles of ag educators involving experiential learning. Continue to do great things out there, and we appreciate you all spending time with us today on Owlpellets.
We know agricultural educators.
And we know that the job is hard work.
Here to make your job easy is Owlpellets, where we are regurgitating information just for you.